FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. It's September 4th, 2018. Getting back in the swing of things. The studio is up. The video is almost ready to go. As soon as I get my new video camera, I'm using a Mevo and going to do Facebook Live. And you're going to see, it's going to be amazing. Anyways, cryptocurrencies had a pretty amazing run on their own. Oh, first, as always, we implore you to write to the show. Email us, kl@kerrylutz.com. Love reading your questions every Monday with John Rubino. So it's kl@kerrylutz.com. Anyway, cryptos, flash in the pan. Is there a future for cryptos? Hey, don't forget, I was one of the few people that called the top within 2 days. The top hit last December 15th, 2017. My article came out on the 17th, but I had written it or started writing it on the 16th, telling you to sell half of your cryptos. Hey, if only you listened to me, right? Well, here's someone else you can listen to, and I think profit accordingly. Her name is Kim Snyder, and Kim, you run a website, sanecrypto.com. You got a lot of finance experience, options trader, investment advisor, entrepreneur, financial engineer, author, speaker, educator. I could just go on and on. And most importantly, podcaster. So with that out of the way, Kim, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me, Kerry. I am thrilled to be here.
Hey, and you created the Snyder Investment Method. So what is it? How do we buy it? How do we get it? And how much money can we make with it?
Sure. Well, just to give you a quick background, the Snyder Investment Method was something that I created out of self-defense. There's a good story behind it. Will probably resonate with your listeners. When I came out of college, I went to work for a company doing $36 million a year in sales. I was a part-time clerk in their purchasing department. 8 years later, they were doing $1 billion a year in sales. They went public. I had made a major windfall in the IPO before the age of 30, turned it all over to Wall Street, who promptly lost everything that I hadn't managed to spend within 2 years and in a raging bull market, which is pretty hard to do. So I had to start all over. And that's really how I got into investing in the first place. This was in the mid-90s. And I defined financial success for myself as being the ability to do what I wanted when I wanted without having to worry about how to pay for it. I also defined it as not having to work for an idiot ever again. And so what was unique about my thinking, I guess, especially for a by then 30 something year old, was that I was thinking about income. I was thinking about how do I create an investment portfolio that produces enough income to solve that problem of, you know, financial freedom. And that got me on to the path of options and creating a strategy. This is totally unrelated to crypto, of course, predating crypto by a long time, but a strategy for generating income from a paper portfolio, from a stock portfolio, at a significantly higher rate than what I could get from a non-engineered portfolio, meaning one comprised of the typical dividend paying stocks and bonds and things like that. So we used options in order to create income. I sold that firm, my investment firm, a number of years ago. Along with it, I sold the Snyder Investment Method as well. But they're still operating and taking clients. And if anyone is interested in that, they can go have a look at SnyderAdvisors.com. SNIDER. ADVISORS, but I am not affiliated with them in any way. Just all disclosure right. on that. So
interesting. So you have an interesting life story, and we were talking pre-call, and you were saying, you know, you look at the charts. It certainly was no surprise that Bitcoin and the rest of the crypto space crashed at the end of last year in December, right?
Well, yeah, I am a really big believer in this idea that history repeats itself, or at least it rhymes, as they say, may not be exact. And markets are cyclical. That's the nature of a market. It's a closed system governed by the laws of ecology that say nothing. A closed system can't exist at a state of extreme indefinitely. Now, you know, the corollary to that, of course, is that markets can stay irrational longer than you can stay liquid, which is the problem. But yeah, you could just look at that and say, I don't know when it's going to end, but yeah, for sure, this is just not sustainable.
Yeah. The party, the punch bowl is going to get withdrawn either by the government or by the market. But one way or the other, the outcome, when you have a chart parabolic, you know, you have the upside, but then with parabolic, you have the downside. And you had to know it was coming. And yet there were people who were convinced that this time really was different, Kim.
Which is a sure sign. The moment you hear someone say this time is different, the answer to that is it's never different. Never, ever, ever. If I had a nickel for every time someone told me that, because it just never is.
Yeah. Yep. The more things change, the more they stay the same. As the saying goes, the hand simply rearranges the players in the game. So, right. But now the market, it's had a huge retracement. Right now it's trading in the low 7,000s, I think. I looked at it earlier in the day.
That's right. Somewhere around 7,300-ish.
Yeah. And I loved when it started getting to 8,000. People are saying, that's it. It's coming back. You know, it's going to go to 100,000. And I said, wrong, wrong, wrong. Just a little chart analysis. No, tells you that it's just going to have these bounces, but one day it is going to come back. And it might not be Bitcoin that is the leader, even though for right now, probably will be.
Well, it might not be, but I think when you weigh all of the evidence for the moment, Bitcoin is the established leader. Bitcoin does have the clearest use case. Bitcoin is the one which is actually functioning according to its design, and has a really solid investment thesis. So for me, I am not comfortable putting money in any of the other crypto assets other than Bitcoin and maybe a small bit of Ethereum. But beyond that, I think that's just throwing good money after bad.
But what about Litecoin and Flashcoin and Vaporcoin and imaginary coin, Cloudcoin? Well, I like.
Look, there's three problems with all of these altcoins. So one is that there is regulatory overhang on all of them, meaning that should be fairly obvious. The CFTC and the SEC have not provided any clarity as to, what they're going to do retroactively. It's pretty obvious to me, most of those, without being even a lawyer, that most of those were and are securities, unregistered securities. So that's problem number one. Problem, Bitcoin clearly isn't a security, never was a security, and they've given lots of clarity on that. Ethereum was.
Yeah.
But they said, they've said isn't now. So even Ethereum has that regulatory overhang that Bitcoin doesn't have. Problem number two is what I call wrong wave. Again, going back to this cycles and, not our first rodeo. If you remember, back during the dot-com boom, a lot of the companies that were poster children for that blow up companies like Pets.com, TheGlobe.com.
Do you have to remind me of this? Do you have to remind me who these painful,
Here's what's interesting about those. I say about a lot of these altcoins, they're wrong wave. And what I mean by that, it's actually referring to Steve Case, founder of AOL's book, The Third Wave. You know, those were second wave companies that were trying to be built during the first wave. The first wave is when we build the underlying infrastructure.
Correct.
And the second wave and the third wave is when we build the companies on top of that. Well, later, of course, we had Facebook and Chewy, which was just acquired by I don't remember who for billions of dollars. They are the exact same business as the Globe and Pets.com, but of course they were wrong wave. So there's just maybe someday there's going to be a blockchain Uber, but not now. It's the wrong wave. And then there's a third problem, which is the velocity problem that no one talks about, and it is fairly esoteric.
I talk about that. Hey, don't say no one does. So we were at 500,000 Bitcoin transactions a day at the peak, the very peak, almost 500,000. Now we're at like 200,000. What does that tell you about a market?
That the number of transactions are going down?
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't tell me anything other than that investor behavior never varies. And that is that we buy tops and sell bottoms. And we're interested when everyone else is buying, right? Buy when everyone else is buying, sell when everyone else is selling, as opposed to the exact opposite of what we should be doing, which is, buying when everyone else is selling and selling when everyone else is buying.
Exactly.
Manifestation of
human nature,
FOMO at its best.
Human nature, right?
Totally.
Pure human nature. So, the fact it's yesterday's news. There's no longer a unique selling proposition on cryptos because they intruded in the public consciousness. The people who bought it at the end lost money, which is the way it's supposed to happen. And the people who didn't buy it said, you see, I knew I shouldn't have bought it. It was the right move not to buy it. And so now we're setting up for phase two.
Now, unfortunately, this is a long-term investment. This is a long-term play. You should never mix gambling and investing. And unfortunately, most people do. What they are doing in their portfolio is not investing. It is gambling. And nothing is more intriguing than that ICO slot machine or that ICO casino. But once that excitement goes away, then, of course, everyone loses interest, which is, if people understand that markets are zero-sum games and that the way one person makes a dollar is by taking it from another, as we were talking before we started hitting records, the newbie, the sucker, right, is the one is the opposite side of that zero-sum game. So in a very cynical sense, we need those people, but from the advisor and the person in me that just hates to see people taken advantage of, I want people to understand that the way to make money in this market and not be that stooge is to be the long-term investor who's a little bit sharper than the average bear and buying tops and selling bottoms.
Totally with you on that. And that's what it comes down to, is not to buy the top. So Bitcoin was a great buy at $7. It was a great buy at $700, but maybe it wasn't such a great buy at $10,000.
I actually think it was a great buy at $10,000. I think long term, it will long term, because here's the thing, Carrie. Here's the thesis here, right? Is imagine that in 1993, someone had given you the opportunity to invest in the internet, not AOL or Cisco or Level 3, the internet. Like, you could buy shares in HTTP, Of course, we didn't have that. But that's essentially what you have today, is an opportunity to buy into the underlying infrastructure. And if you think back to 93, and if someone said, you know, this investment, the value of this investment is going to be a function of the long-term success and usage of that network. And, you know, emails, the number of emails and the number of bits and bytes going across the internet. If you had been prescient enough, right, brave enough even to buy and hold that, right, for until today, then clearly the value of that is a multiple of, from 93 that we can't, it's hard for us to even really conceive of. I think it's really, this is one of the things that's the hardest thing to get your brain around about this technology, is because I think we are talking about a scale which is significantly different than, you know, a traditional financial instrument. I don't think, you know, thinking about 5% and 8% annual returns on the stock market is apples to apples on a monetary good, which is what Bitcoin is. And so I actually think that, and it's a bet, and there's no question, which is why you have to, you know, position sizing is critically important. You can't take too much risk with this bet. But if it pays off, right, that's the bet you're making. And if it pays off, I think, you know, 10,000 will look, someday we'll look at that and say that's kind of similar to having what looks today to be $70, you know, I really do believe that is a potential scenario, not certain, not guaranteed by any stretch, but a potential scenario that I can make a case for.
Interesting. So long term, it's headed higher, but is it going to go up the way we saw it go up during the peak?
I hope not. I don't think that's healthy for any market.
No.
I think what will happen, though, is, again, if you just imagine, I do think the internet is a tremendous roadmap. I don't think it will be exactly the same. Mm-hmm. But if you just think about the path that the internet took from 93 to today, and you kind of charted widespread use and adoption, and the network traffic, if you will, right? You will see ups and downs. Clearly, you will see fits and starts. But the very long term trend, as it becomes something which is absolutely woven into the fabric of our world, where we can't even imagine how we lived without it. That's what I think blockchain and Bitcoin has the potential to be. And that's a pretty long upslope.
Mm-hmm. Can the government screw this up, though?
They can try. But unlike other things, I mean, one of the things we talked about, you know, one of my major investment theses for Bitcoin is this idea of a better gold than gold. And one of the reasons I believe that it's a better gold than gold, and therefore, you know, will supplant gold, at least in part, is that it's censorship resistant, meaning that the government, there is really no way, unless all of the governments in the world somehow colluded to make it happen. And even then, it would be difficult to shut down Bitcoin. This is a genie that is out of the bottle, and there's really no way to put it back. Now, can they do things that are less than optimal? Certainly. Absolutely. But in the end, I really don't think that's going to matter. I see this as being something that they will, you know, I mean, here's the way to think of it, right? It's like, I see this kind of coalescing. I didn't say this, but I wish I did. You know, someone said the global economy is standardizing on a single language for the transfer of ideas, which is English, and a single protocol for the transfer of data, which is internet, and now a single protocol for the transfer of value, which is blockchain. That is bigger than any one government.
Interesting. I never quite looked at it that way. So what are you advising people? Futures, you know, it just seems to have corresponded perfectly with the crash in Bitcoin, the futures trading in it, which maybe had something to do with it, and maybe we're just being a little paranoid. But certainly You know, I'm not one for coincidences. How do we capitalize on this now without taking on too much risk and without losing our principal?
Sure. Well, there's a couple things. One, I am a big believer in Bitcoin, not so much in these, all of these, you know, can I say this on the show? Crappy coins.
Yeah.
Stick to an investment that has a real basis. Number two is I do believe that you should own the underlying, if at all possible, not paper, meaning, you know, the equivalent of owning, you know, coins or bullion and gold. In this case, it's actually owning the Bitcoin itself rather than getting in the futures market or these or ETFs or any of these things. And then the third thing is it really is all about, to me, it's all about position sizing, meaning it's the key to this. This is a play that's kind of really unlike anything we've ever seen in our lifetimes. And it's a little bit like, you know, making a venture capital play. And so you want to position yourself so that if the naysayers are right, you don't wipe out your portfolio. But if the believers are right, you have the potential to make life altering money. That's that's really the play here.
Right. So and you think $10,000 is enough?
Well, it depends. I think it has to be a really more on a percentage basis. So what I tell people is I believe that they should invest absolutely no more than 2% of their investable assets in crypto. And that's obviously part of the alternative asset bucket. Most of us will have a bucket of our portfolio, you know, that contains metals, commodities, you know, real estate, all of those alternative asset pieces whose job it is to protect us against hyperinflation and you know, market risk, provide non-correlated assets, all of that. You know, that's its job. So they should view this crypto asset as that bucket, but with a much, 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 much more higher return potential than those things, but also the potential for a total loss, which is why you've got to really, really be strict about your position sizing.
Right. Gotcha. Makes total sense. And hey, look, I know people are going to want to find out more, want to connect with you. How do we find you? And you got an offer for FSN listeners?
Well, thank you so much for asking that question. I do appreciate it. They can find me at sanecrypto.com/FSN. We did make a special landing page just for your listeners. And on that page, they can find links to all the things I've got going on, my podcast, the Sane Crypto Podcast, a free training that I do called How a Little Bit of Bitcoin Can Make Your Retirement Savings Go a Lot Further, as well as my Sane Crypto Mastermind.
All right. Excellent. Well, we'll look forward to getting it. And if you got any questions, comments, want to get into the crypto space, we'd love to hear from you. KL@KerryLutz.com, KL@KerryLutz.com. Twitter feed is @KerryLutz, and the Facebook page is Financial Survival Network. Kim, been a pleasure speaking with you. Thanks so much for joining us.
You as well. Thanks so much for having me, Kerry.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.